Hey, it's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off another week here. You can bring up absolutely anything, as always. Our number is open for you, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up here tonight, Los Angeles police ignore a robbery in progress in favor of playing video games. Plus, what happens when you ask Alexa for a challenge? What does Alexa tell you to do? Bonnie's got a story about that. But to start things out, we do have a quick update on the tennis star, Novak Djokovic, who's apparently the number one tennis star in the world. I don't follow tennis. I don't tend to follow sports at all, but that's who this guy is.
That's the one with the goalies, right?
The goalies?
Yeah.
That's a joke, right?
Yes.
Okay. No.
I don't know. I guess technically in tennis, wouldn't like both players
be the goalie?
Yeah.
I guess.
Guarding their own side.
Yeah. Djokovic is back.
The net's in the wrong place.
He's out of the detention facility. They had taken this guy. He had tried to go into Australia for the Australian Open, which he's played in some number of times. He was the number one champ there, I guess, last year. So he's returning to defend his title.
Okay.
And they stopped him and they said, you got to be vaccinated or you have to show us that you are exempt medically. And the government guys did not accept whatever it was that he said.
Of course they didn't. It's Australia.
They went ahead and said, well, you're not going to be able to be let in. So there, And he said, well, I'm challenging this. And they said, okay, well, you can stay here in this hotel, which is actually a detention facility run by, I presume, the state, because they're feeding people food apparently with maggots crawling through
it. Oh my God.
So this was the report about the maggots came from previous. So it wasn't Djokovic who got the maggot food, but it's a immigration detention facility. It used to be like a 4-star hotel, not anymore.
Not under government care.
Yeah, not under government. Right. So they hold immigrant detainees at this hotel, apparently, and that's where they're keeping him. So we were just kind of reading about this particular facility and what people were, protesting about it.
At that point, I would just be like, okay, let me go back to wherever I came from because I'm not staying in this hotel. And I just think that anybody who was paying attention would still be like, okay, Novak Djokovic hasn't been challenged and he's still the best tennis player because they decided to play some kind of open in Australia where it's locked down where nobody can go. So,
well, the other players that are vaccinated are obviously going to be there. But
yeah, but they're not playing against him, so it's not an insult to him. What do you mean?
Well, he has to defend his title.
I'm just saying I wouldn't feel like I had to defend my title. Put it somewhere else. If you want Novak Djokovic to play, then you're going to have to get it out of Australia.
Something similar to that actually happened in the chess world back in like the early 2000s or the late 90s or something when Garry Kasparov was champion. He was like, hey, this whole organization, I think it was FIDE, I don't remember now because it's been 20 years since I cared about it that much. He was like, this whole organization is corrupt and I'm not defending my title anymore, so I'm creating this new organization.
He made a competing organization.
Yeah, and he took his world championship with him to the degree that he never actually had to defend it within their little tournament rules or whatever.
Well, I mean, to your point, Bonnie, I don't think they can take the Australian Open out of Australia. I mean, that's kind of their thing, I guess, there. So given that he wants to defend his title, he went, and he's rich, right? He's a winner, so he's probably got plenty of attorneys who are willing to help him out.
Sure.
And they fought this thing, and apparently, according to the Associated Press, he's won his legal battle to stay in Australia and play the Australian Open after his exemption from strict coronavirus vaccine rules was questioned, but the government is still threatening to cancel his visa and deport him. So just because he's won this step in the game doesn't mean that there aren't a bunch of angry bureaucrats who are mad that the courts ruled against them and are going to extract whatever kind of vengeance they can against this guy.
I just feel like he shouldn't be like rewarding Australia with
his presence.
Yeah, his presence.
Yeah, no, I agree. I get
people
where you're
get to
from.
Go to a game. I assume people are allowed to leave the house and go to the game.
Well, and only if you're vaccinated, I presume.
Okay, the vaccinated people get to go to a game and see him just because he, decided to fight it instead of saying, nope, you guys can, if you're going to do this to me, I'm leaving.
Yeah, that would definitely be the principled, strong position to take. We don't know this person. I don't think he's spoken publicly about this at this point, so we don't know what his motivations are.
No, but I mean, if he's one of the top tennis players in the world, then why does the dude need to be vaccinated against a cold, you know?
Right. So he'll probably pull through it.
I suspect that's probably where he's coming from. He's like, hey, I'm in great physical shape. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not going to die of this thing, so why should I have to get this injection?
And to be fair, I can't put myself in the mindset of caring that much about sports. So I guess to people that care that much.
Well, I don't care about sports, but this is interesting because it's Australia and following along with what the tyranny has been on the rise.
As much as Djokovic cares to go defend his title, I would just say, as far as I'm concerned, I'm the champion until someone comes to somewhere where people are allowed to beat me.
Right, where I'm allowed to be.
That
would be the principled position to take, but you can't expect sports stars to be particularly principled. Yeah, I presume they are in it for whatever kind of glory. I don't know
if
it's the money as well. But the unvaccinated tennis star was released after being confined to an immigration hotel for 4 nights. Federal Circuit Court Judge Anthony Kelly reinstated Djokovic's visa, which was pulled after his arrival last week because officials said he didn't qualify for an exemption to a rule that all non-citizens be fully vaccinated. Djokovic's lawyers say that since he recently recovered from COVID-19, he doesn't need to be inoculated. And there's plenty of doctors who will point out that if you have actually beaten COVID-19, then you don't want the vaccine because it has actually, especially if you're a male, more likely to trigger side effects, like dangerous myocarditis, heart attack kind of side effects. And that's one of the things that the Robert Malone guy said in the interview with Joe Rogan. He said there's over 140 studies that have been done that show clearly it is dangerous to get the vaccine after you've already beaten COVID-19.
You don't do that with any other disease?
No. The judge ruled that Djokovic had not been given enough time to speak to his lawyers before the decision was made and ordered the government to release him from the Melbourne quarantine hotel where he was held. So it sounds like it was a technicality that got him out of this. But government lawyer Christopher Tran told the judge the immigration minister will, quote, consider whether to exercise a personal power of cancellation, unquote.
Yeah, Australia has no constitution
That's
or anything,
correct.
Or Bill of Rights or anything, right? So they can, the Australian government can just do whatever it wants.
I mean, our government gang here can do what they want.
That's true.
They do have to play as though they've got this constitution, over top of them. But you're right, in Australia, they don't even have that. And so basically, they're just pointing out, okay, well, we didn't get you with this little trick of our vaccine mandate, so now we're just going to exercise our bureaucratic power. They haven't done it yet, but they're threatening to. We're going to show you, Djokovic. How dare you?
When is the Australian Open that he's there for?
I know last week they said it was in less than 10 days, so I'm going to guess it's coming up this weekend. That's just my guess.
Well, at least he had time to, get there, fight the government, and hopefully compete in this thing.
The back and forth has caused a furor in Australia.
But I'm confused now. The article suggests he's not a non-citizen, so why would he be competing in the...
He is a non-citizen.
So why would he be competing in the Australian Open? What?
Tennis has this. They do this. The stars go all over the world. So it's not like football where there's the NFL and only people in the U.S. are playing and they just play inside the United States. Tennis stars go all over the place.
He's Serbian, right? From Serbia?
I think so. Something like that. Okay. Yeah, Serbia. So, the only reason I know this is because when I grew up, my mom was a tennis fan, so I've seen quite a bit of tennis being played, and they play all over the world, and the stars fly all over for it.
Tennis rules confuse me. But, the extent of my knowledge about tennis comes from, Mario Tennis, so yeah. I'm not an expert.
I just like the noise when a tennis ball hits the ground.
Many initially decried the news that Djokovic, who'd been a vocal skeptic of vaccines, so I guess he has spoken out, against them, had received an exemption to strict rules to compete in Melbourne. Many felt that he, whose court documents say is not inoculated, was being given special treatment since Australians who aren't vaccinated face tough travel and quarantine restrictions. And ultimately, that is the most important thing to point out here is, this guy is absolutely getting special treatment.
Yeah.
He's a star.
He's also got attorneys.
Yep.
The average Australian won't.
And that makes a difference. The number here is 603-283-6160. Meanwhile, people in the Northern Territories are on a lockdown. If you're unvaccinated, you cannot leave your house. You can't even leave for exercise. There's more coming up here in moments. You can join us and share your thoughts. We'll go to China for a crackdown next. is Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. We'll be in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
And Bitcoin.com is a great source to learn about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. And you can just click on Get Started at the top of the page over at Bitcoin.com, and you'll find some introductory videos there where you'll learn some of the basics, because there is a little bit of a learning curve. You know, you do have to get your mind wrapped around some new concepts like decentralization. You don't have to know how cryptocurrency works, though, to know that it works well, that it does what it says it's going to do, and that is it allows you to transfer value from one human to another. Across the planet within a matter of moments.
So, yeah, I don't fully understand how it works either.
Yeah, I'm not a cryptographer.
Yeah,
you know, I could not begin to process whatever mathematics are involved in securing this particular network. But I am certain that it's secure, and one of the reasons why I'm certain it's secure is because it's open source. And when something is open source, as far as its code is available to the entire world for auditing purposes, people can. Whoever has the, you know, the coding chops can look at it, and they can dig in as deep as they want to and see if there's any nasty backdoors.
Nobody has hacked
anything
it
like that. Yeah, no one has successfully hacked Bitcoin.
Not nobody, our co-host, but no
correct.
One.
And by the way, we do have a nobody quote coming up here tonight as well. One of the haters in the YouTube chat calling himself Bitcoin is a scam, of course, pointing out that Bitcoin's price has been falling. As though,
oh, no.
You know, as though that means something.
It means it's on sale.
Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is look at the history of Bitcoin, and you can see that there's a series of peaks and, you know, dips and peaks and dips, and we're in one of those dips right now.
Yeah. 2 years ago, it was what, like $7,000 around this point? And last year, I don't remember what it was at, but...
Last year, I think it probably was maybe around here, maybe
a
little higher.
It was lower, and I only know because Captain said he was feeling kind of bad, so he looked at what it was a year ago, and it was like 25% lower, so then he felt a lot better.
But well, I mean, this thing, it goes up and down.
Yeah.
I'm confident that it's going to reverse this trajectory and climb back up to a new... all-time high, because that's what Bitcoin does. It always reaches a new all-time high, and then it always drops back down.
Yeah. In the summer, it got down to, I'm pretty sure, the 20,000s, if not the low 30,000s, and then it reached an all-time high in, I think, November of 60,000.
Yeah, it was around $68,000. I'm actually looking at a three-month chart here on the handy Bitcoin ticker widget app for Android, which is very, very handy, so I can just hit 3 month in 1 year, and 3 months ago, or it's right now, it's down 26% from where it was 3 months ago.
Which it is painful to hear that.
Yeah, it's a big drop.
Even though it doesn't mean anything to me at the moment, just because I value the ideas of cryptocurrency and I want Bitcoin to be successful, it's unfortunate to hear.
And compared to a year ago, it's up 20%. However, a year ago, we're probably just a few weeks away from that first big jump up where it ran up to around $60,000 in like... February, March range last year, so it would be down from that. But so last year was a bit of a roller coaster ride. I mean, it was way up, and then it was down, and then it was way up again. And if you can't handle that kind of stuff, then you just stay with the dollar, and you can be assured that you will lose value over time, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, that the value of the dollar is going to continue to decline. You can rest assured with that.
Whereas Bitcoin... Probably, has at least the possibility of gaining value. The USD is guaranteed to lose value.
Yeah, and that's just their policy. That's the money, you know, the monetary policy of central banks. So whether you want to comment on that or whatever's on your mind, plus I think you actually have a story, Ari, about Bitcoin here tonight. I don't know if you want to pull that up since we're kind of talking about it. There's a hate piece in the mainstream media, because whenever Bitcoin starts to dip, whenever Bitcoin's price goes down from an all-time high, which it always has to. I mean, there's no way Bitcoin can always go up, right? Like, at some point, somebody's going to take what they call take profits. They bought in at whatever, you know, 20,000, and then they sell at 60,000. And then if they've got a whole lot of it, it might push the price down a little bit. Or if a bunch of people sell at that level, it might push the price down a little bit. But then other people who've been waiting for the opportunity to buy at a lower price snatch it up. And once again, the price starts going back up again. But that doesn't stop the mainstream media from, you know, dragging out the same old dead horse and beating it once again about how Bitcoin is on the way out.
Yeah, that's what got my attention about this article was just the stupidity of the headline. Bitcoin is off to its worst annual start since the dawn of cryptocurrency.
So like a little more than a decade ago?
Yeah, when it was essentially worthless. They're saying that it's doing worse than it was when it was worthless.
And also just that's not a very long history. So like the worst that's ever been for hundreds of years. Cryptocurrency only got invented a little more than a decade ago.
Yeah, what are we, 10 days into the new year? And I love how the mainstream media tries to paint Bitcoin as though it has some sort of a start time. Like, okay, ready? Go! Okay, annual start. Starting when? What, midnight Eastern time on...
I'm assuming so.
This, you know, January 1st, or are we going by Greenwich Mean Time, or what do we... How do they determine
that?
Yeah,
they can't think in terms that aren't like the dollar, like, oh, it's, you know, the first sector or whatever they call their crap.
Well, with the standard, like, government markets, with the regulated marketplaces, like stocks... There's a certain schedule on
the beginning of the fiscal year.
Well, no, they do a weekly thing where it's like it's opens at, you know, like 9 a.m. on Monday and closes at 5 o'clock on or 4:30 or whenever the hell it is. I don't pay close attention to the stock market.
And it's Eastern time.
Yeah, Eastern time. And if it's overnight, there's no trading going on. You know, if it and the same thing's true with like the Federal Reserve. You can't send a wire transfer after, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, and at some banks, they won't let you do it after 2 o'clock.
But Bitcoin doesn't stop.
Right.
Ever.
Correct. It's 24 hours a day. There is no time off. Doesn't matter if it's the middle of Christmas. Bitcoin is trading. People all over the world are buying and selling it.
So I suspect they're just using January the 1st.
Yeah, they're just picking some arbitrary date and saying, oh, it's so bad. What?
Well, it did dip below $40,000 for the first time since September. Oh, no. Putting it on pace for its worst start to a year since the earliest days of the digital alternative to money. The original cryptocurrency bounced off the lows of the day after falling as much as 6%. Oh, that's so unheard of for Bitcoin.
Bitcoin can do that in 5 minutes.
It absolutely can.
And it could come back 10 more percent 10 minutes later.
The senior financial markets analyst at Citi Index said, "It has been a pretty shocking start to 2022. There's a lot going on. We know that Bitcoin is volatile. But even for Bitcoin, we're seeing some really big moves." Yeah.
Really?
6%.
I mean, I'm looking here in just the last week, and I see a down of, you know, not quite 10%. I mean, this is standard issue Bitcoin.
Yeah, this is totally normal. Right. No one who's, you know, interested in Bitcoin and passionate about Bitcoin is even remotely shocked to see a decrease in 6%.
Yeah, that quote sounded like somebody who either just made something up to sound smart.
Right.
Well, they're the senior financial markets analyst at Citi Index. So they're all about the status quo and the current financial system and stock trading and all of that. So any chance they get to say, oh, God, Bitcoin's doing terribly,
right,
they're going to jump on
trash
it.
The competition.
And using their terms to try to apply it to Bitcoin.
Yeah,
it's off to a shocking start.
Saying that it's below $40,000 or that it dipped below $40,000, that's meaningless.
And it did. I think that was today. It dropped a little bit below $40,000. Good for the people that were able to buy it below 40.
Yeah, but as I understand, it's already back above 40,000.
Of course. So. Yeah. I don't think it lasted more than a few hours. It's probably 5 minutes. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us.
Do you feel like your country no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where liberty-minded people can come together and leave government overreach behind? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. They start at FreePrivateCities.com and connect via the social media links shown there. All skills will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities open. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build FreePrivateCities.com. FreePrivateCities.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Of course, you can bring up whatever happens to be on your mind. We are, by the way, raising funds for Give Directly. It is the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people living in extreme poverty. They locate recipients who are in need, and they use mobile money to send them cash, no strings attached. And in the last decade, they've delivered over $400 million to over a million people, and research shows that giving cash to people living in poverty can help drive a range of important positive changes in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. Plus, cash allows individuals to invest in what they need instead of relying on aid organizations and donors thousands of miles away that are choosing for them. So if that's what you prefer, we agree with you, and that's why we're going to match your donations to Give Directly up to a total of $30,000. So if you want to help out some needy families in Bemette and Kilifi counties in Kenya, please go to give.freetalklive.com and you can help out there. Once again, that's give.freetalklive.com. We were just kind of talking about Bitcoin a little bit and the recent price dropping. It has dropped down from an all-time high of $68,000 and change in November to now just over $40,000 today. And of course, the haters are using that as an excuse to once again attack cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, even though
that's pretty par for the course, though. Yeah, I mean, that's what we expect. Anytime Bitcoin goes down, they say it's dead. And anytime it goes up, they say it's a bubble.
Yet there's still a $1.9 trillion market cap when it comes to the whole of what are counted 16,616 currencies over at coinmarketcap.com, worth, again, nearly $2 trillion. So for someone to look at that kind of value and say, oh, that's just temporary, is pretty ridiculous.
No, NFTs are temporary. And I mean, the idea is behind
non-fungible tokens.
Yes, the idea behind NFTs is, you know, solid for things like verifying that you own a piece of actual physical property, using it as sort of a deeding system for actual real property. That's probably fine, but
or even unreal property, like in the new video game universes where plots of land are selling for millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Ever since I found out that the URL you own can just disappear, I just don't see how it makes sense online.
The NFTs? No, those don't make any sense. For the most part, they don't make any sense.
Well, yeah, but if you own digital metaverse land, that'd have to be pointed out by a URL, right?
No, it wouldn't be a URL. A URL is just a web location. So in the case of the people that have JPEGs or graphics online, those are hosted on a web server somewhere, and the URL points to that. But as far as the land that is being sold in these online universe, metaverse things.
Facebook owns that. And
well,
they're the ones who say,
they're not selling. They're not selling the land. But the ones that are decentralized are up for sale. So there's Decentraland, and then there's another one that is not coming to mind right now. But
so,
those aren't URLs. They're within a system. They're within, you know, whatever this program is that they have, this Decentraland program. And it just says, oh, well, you know, plot of land at marker X by Y by Z, you know, this digital location in this digital universe. I mean, it could all go away, Bonnie, if somebody turns the server off at some point. So, I mean, it could just get shut down. But I presume that there's some level of decentralization involved in a, you know, in a group called Decentraland. And so I would hope that all that data exists, you know, in more than one place. So if something happens to server A, that server backup version, you know, is put back online. There's certainly millions of dollars at stake. So I don't think that all the people that are essentially stakeholders in this Decentraland are going to want to see their thing fail. So it's probably going to be around.
I just couldn't see myself buying one of these plot of lands.
Oh, God, no.
Not based on what I've seen
but
of these.
You can't see yourself spending time there. So that's why you wouldn't want to buy it.
But I mean, if they had something compelling, something that was actually like a video game where I could spend time there and do interesting things, that would be cool. But virtual skee ball with a torso? No thanks, dude. I'm good. I'd rather play the NES, from 1986.
You don't want to go to the virtual Ariana Grande concert that just sounds like they literally played the studio version of her song and had a torso of her there?
I'd rather kill myself than watch Ariana Grande virtually, yes.
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Bonnie, because it's part of this story that I have here tonight about the metaverse, which, again, just keeps getting pimped by all this mainstream media out there.
They do this every time VR comes up. They're like, oh, it's the big thing now. And it's going to
different this time.
It's going to crash and burn just like, I mean, they did the same thing with the 3D movies a number of years ago. They're like, this is it. It's here to stay. The technology's finally
and it's
here.
Gone. I mean, there's still a few movies coming out, I think, that are 3D.
Dune was in 3D.
Was it?
I thought so.
Okay.
Yeah, they did a showing of the 3D version here at the Keene Cinema. I didn't go to it, but...
Yeah, for whatever reason, at Keene Cinemas, they're only doing... If there's a 3D movie that comes out, they literally do two showings in 3D, and then the next week, there's none. And that's it.
Is it more expensive for them to do it?
I don't know.
And I mean, their traffic's so low, it seems like you could just show up and be like, hey, I'll give you an extra $5.
Flip it into 3D. Yeah.
Can we watch this in 3D? I mean, it's all the same to them, right? You're probably the only person there to see the movie. So
it's sad, but it's absolutely true. But no, I get what you're saying, Arya. You're pointing out that a decade ago when Avatar came out, more than a decade, 2009, I think, when Avatar came out and kind of brought about the relaunch of 3D movies, which, of course, also happened in, what, the 50s and then the 80s. Because remember, like, the blue and red glasses that they had once upon a time? Time for 3D, so like there were different, like there's been different iterations of 3D movies. So the most recent one in 2009, there was all the talk about this is going to bring theaters back. It's going to kill home movies, and people are going to go back out to see movies again.
Which is not really true. My projector will do 3D movies, but I can't watch any because they don't release any 3D movies onto any streaming platforms or anything. Yeah. So,
Do you have the glasses?
No, because you can't get a movie in 3D to watch at home, so it's pointless.
You could probably pull up cool visuals to look at if you got the glasses.
Maybe so.
That's probably true.
But I kind of feel like it's different this time because...
You're right that it's being pimped harder.
It's heavy. I mean, it's almost every single day there's some sort of mainstream media piece pimping the metaverse as though it's the future of everything. So before, no one was trying to tell you that you were going to get VR glasses and do anything besides, shoot, other kids in Halo or whatever we're talking, whatever video game of the moment happens to be in 3D. I mean, that was what 3D glasses were put out there for in the 90s when there was the Lawnmower Man came out and there was really early looking kind of virtual reality back then. Of course, it never came to fruition. That didn't even come close to a consumer level kind of product. It was just in development and people were talking about it. And then, come 2011, 2013, somewhere in that range, we started to hear about Oculus and we started to hear about some of these, these other ones that were out there. The tech was finally there. It was finally
It was it had reached a point where it was tolerable.
I mean, still some people are going to puke because the way the motion feels for them is just really weird and they can't handle it. So for some people, it's completely intolerable. But I guess for enough people, it was tolerable enough to say, all right, well, we can make this a mass market product now. It's not, the thing's kind of heavy, but it's not going to, you can still play it for a couple hours and probably you'll be fine. So they came out with it. But no one was saying this was going to be the world-changing technology. It wasn't pimped that way. It was like, ooh, this is really awesome. Just think about the future uses for this. Like, oh, we're going to use this in the operating room to, do operations on people or something. Like, there were certain industrial applications that were being thrown out there for virtual reality.
So a bit beyond, surgeon simulator type of thing?
Yeah, but to actually, I don't know. I guess I don't know if it was just for training or to actually do surgeries or something like that. I don't remember all the details, but
I just pulled them up to see what they look like on Facebook Metaverse. Why wouldn't they put legs? Just doesn't seem that hard.
I think it's just lazy programming.
They look no better than the Miis from Wii.
I think that was the exact analogy I used.
What is Wii?
Wii, Nintendo Wii.
Oh, that. Okay. More coming up here in moments. We'll continue here. We'll get into the latest pimping of the metaverse. And are you excited? Does anyone care about this? Call us up. It's Free Talk Live. Phones open. If you want to join us, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. By the way, I want to say thanks to Ellen Blanchard, who is a Free Talk Live supporter in the AMPS program. We just started this thing a few months ago to replace our old AMP system, which we had to blow up due to technical difficulties, and also at the same time, our credit card processor deciding they no longer wanted to be our credit card processor, and They're not going to tell us why. Supposed, you know, risk, I guess, was the allegation, even though no one has ever said anything, you know, alleged that we committed fraud against any of our customers or anything like that. I suspect it has to do with the FBI investigation into the show.
I would assume that.
It's just speculation on my part. But the folks over at Patreon are willing to work with us, at least for now. So we've got a Patreon over at amps.freetalklive.com, and that's what Ellen joined as a gold-level supporter of Amps. So you can join over there at amps.freetalklive.com. Gold means she's doing $10 a month. We only ask for $5. Really appreciate the support, Ellen, and thank you to the other 70-plus people who are on board over at amps.freetalklive.com. We're going to continue on in the metaverse. Continues to be pimped. Billions upon billions of dollars are being pumped into this concept by companies like Facebook. Oh, they've changed their name now. It's Meta. And also Microsoft and other big tech companies who you can totally trust. But first up, it's Sydney in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Sydney.
I didn't want to call. Didn't want to talk specifically about the metaverse.
That's okay.
But I wanted to tell everybody about Mark Edge being on the show yesterday in case people missed that.
Yeah, Mark, our former, I guess he's not our former co-host. He still is technically a co-host, but he hasn't been on the air for 6 months, roughly, several months since I got out of jail, basically. He and I are not allowed to talk. Well, technically, he's not banned from talking to me. I'm just banned from talking to him. So I guess if he wanted to send me, you know, a note or something like that, that's probably legal, but if I were to acknowledge receipt of the note or in any way communicate back to him, they would put me in a jail cell for violation of some really ridiculous bail conditions that I'm under here in the Crypto 6 case. So I had to actually sequester myself upstairs in the... So I was in the building, but I was in a different part of the building while he was here, which is just a ridiculous situation to be in with someone who I...
Yeah. That's so ridiculous. It was a good show. I was very surprised Mark didn't bash the Free State Project too much.
Oh, good. I was really concerned that he was going to draw that out for like 3 hours or something, but luckily he wasn't running the show, so ultimately the captain, I think, got to decide what the topics were last night.
Yeah, there was one thing that he said. Like, he said that if I'm not hosting Free Talk Live, I have no reason to be in New Hampshire. That kind of stuck out for me. And another thing.
Well, that's unfortunately, that's just Mark's attitude, and that's the way it's been for him since he moved here. You know, the reality of Mark is that he is not an activist like the rest of us are. He moved here because the show moved. If I had not moved Free Talk Live to New Hampshire, he never would have moved to New Hampshire. He will go where the show is, basically, because he just wants to be on the air. He wants to be behind a microphone. He wants people to hear his opinions, and this is the best way that he can do that. So that's why he essentially followed me to New Hampshire, and that's why he lived here as long as he did. And as he's pointed out, if he can't be sitting here in the studio doing the show, then he'll go somewhere else.
Yeah. Another moment that stuck out for me was he almost defended property taxes. By saying that sort of that they kept things in order, that they gave sort of people the ability to keep others in check. He used derelict property as a way to try to justify property taxes, that then the government could sort of get that property into the way that other people want that property to be. I guess he backed down from it when Captain kind of asked him, are you really standing up for property taxes? And then
Yikes.
He kind of backed down from it, but... Yeah, there was that moment. I definitely suggest people check it out. And another thing that he kind of ended with was that he thought that Free Talk Live was a great way for people to call in and kind of ask libertarian questions. Like, that might be the best use for Free Talk Live. And I really agree with that. So I wanted to just segue really quick about the property taxes and sort of New Hampshire exiting possibly exiting the United States.
Mm.
What would happen to all the property that the United States federal government owns, like the interstates with... Those have to be purchased, like the value assessed, and then the...
Well, that's an excellent question. I got to say the interstates are probably the easiest question to answer because I don't know if they really own them. I mean, if there's something...
They were paid for by New Hampshire, weren't they?
Well, certainly taxpayers paid for them, number one. But secondly, New Hampshire is the one that the New Hampshire state government is the organization responsible for keeping those roads up to, you know, to spec. It's not the U.S. federal government that sends a road crew, you know, up to New Hampshire to work on I-95 or whatever it is on the East Coast. So that just doesn't, you know, to me, that's pretty obvious. Like, you don't get any money for this. We've been spending however many millions of dollars on upkeeping your roads, so they're now our roads. But the bigger question is, what about the White Mountain National Park? That's a humongous federally owned park in northern New Hampshire. What about there's apparently like some sort of an Air Force base, I guess, out on the East Coast over by the seacoast?
Well,
what about
that? We know from history that attempting to kick them off the federal government off of land belonging to one of the states doesn't end well.
Yeah.
So I think the best course of action would probably be to just start sending them a yearly bill. They'll never pay it.
Like a rent?
Yeah. Bill? They'll never pay it. But you're making it clear to them that, hey, this doesn't belong to you.
Hmm. Yeah.
The last little kind of twist is I've heard you guys kind of suggest open borders. Would they be able to own property in New Hampshire? Could they come in and buy property? Would they be an entity that would be allowed
the
federal government? Yeah.
If somebody has property they want to sell to them, sure.
Yeah, like an Apple, for example, could come in and buy a building for offices. Let's say if they wanted to run their business in New Hampshire. Could the federal government do such a thing? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think it would just depend, right? So ultimately, the federal government's just another corporation. And
the federal government owning a building in New Hampshire, I don't think that would make it federal land all of a sudden. Like,
well, they would see it that way, right? Like when you go on the post office property, they don't want you to carry a weapon, for instance. And you might get arrested for it if they find out that you're...
Yeah, but right now we're part of the federal... The United States.
I mean, ultimately,
if we weren't part of the United States, they couldn't just say, oh, I bought this building and now this land it's on is the United States.
I think
right?
There's some things that could be acceptable and other things that wouldn't. So, for instance, I wouldn't want a federal prison here. I wouldn't want the federal courts here because they don't have jurisdiction anymore after we have, you know, declared independence. On the other hand, if the post office wants to keep operating here, okay. You know, I mean, that's fine. They're a mostly privatized federal bureaucracy that, for the most part, isn't out there destroying people's lives. They do have a police department inside the post office, so I mean, I'm not necessarily happy with that aspect of it. But again, if they don't have any law enforcement jurisdiction here anymore and all they want to do is, you know, sell stamps. And
as long as they can't say that they're the only ones who are allowed to do whatever, like other people would have to be able to...
offer services. Yeah, that's a good point, Bonnie, because right now in the U.S., the Postal Service has a monopoly on first-class mail.
I bet they just die out after a while.
Probably. But they wouldn't have that in a free New Hampshire. So I think it would just depend, Sydney, on, you know, what the people of New Hampshire and their elected representatives, so-called, would want to allow.
Yeah, I think we do have to remember it's not going to immediately go to like a libertarian paradise.
No.
It's going to be replaced by a government of New Hampshire, the representatives that are there existing in New Hampshire right now.
Correct.
If it even goes through. So it's interesting questions, and thanks so much for your time, guys.
Thank you, Sydney. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. And that is an interesting question. And as far as the Air Force base is concerned, obviously they're going to want to keep that. Yeah. And I think you're right, Aria. The best thing that you could do in that case would be to say, all right, well, this is worth something to us, so we don't want to have a war. We don't want to fight.
That would not end well.
Yeah, we don't want to have a fight, but you should pay us if you're going to be operating a military base in our property.
And I mean, it's not like a military base in New Hampshire would be used to launch attacks in the Middle East or something like that. So as far as it would be used primarily for defensive purposes and training and things like that. So as far as objectionable uses in the military, it's not a big enough deal to be like, oh, no, you have to get this out of here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if they were killing people actively, then that would completely change the situation.
And I mean, they are. You could make the argument that Air Force base is part of the same apparatus that is building Air Force bases that are killing people in the Middle East. But at a certain point, you just have to pick your battles when it comes to the government.
But the rest of the federal agencies that are ruining people's lives, like the FBI and the DEA, they're out.
Yes.
They're not welcome here. We're an independent nation. In the same way, the FBI does not legally operate in, you know, Great Britain. It does not legally operate in, Madagascar. It should not be operating in New Hampshire, in the nation, the free nation of New Hampshire.
And if New Hampshire declares independence, it won't be.
You mean when New Hampshire declares independence?
That's better.
Now, whether it'll be this year or not, that is really ultimately the question. If it's not this year, I want it on the ballot every 2 years. Every time there's a statewide ballot. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness. So you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, kicking off the second hour of the program. You can bring up what you want. Coming up, the latest propaganda for the metaverse. They say it's going to change your life. We'll see about that. We'll dig into it. Plus, Bonnie's got a story that is related to online tech, and that is what happens when you ask Alexa for a challenge to perform. One young girl, I guess, 6 years old or something like that, asked...
I think it was like 10.
Yeah, asked Alexa for a challenge, and we'll tell you what happened, because it was kind of scary. The number here is 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Bonnie, and Aria in the studio. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. First, though, Dave from Ridley Report at ridleyreport.com. Dave Ridley, you're on Free Talk Live.
You know, I always like to say part of the genius of New Hampshire is that you have some cool idea or something and you find out someone in the legislature is already doing it, you know, to try and downsize the government.
Cool. So like what?
There is independence-related legislation that has come up by itself sort of in the New Hampshire State House, and that is an attempt to limit the New Hampshire National Guard and sort of defederalize it a little bit.
I've heard about this.
It's House Bill 1092, quote, requiring an official declaration of war for the activation of the New Hampshire National Guard, unquote. So it removes the feds the power to use the National Guard unless Congress has passed an article of war, which, of course, I don't think they've done since, what, 1941?
Yeah, World War II would have been the last time Congress declared war. And so what you're pointing out here, just to clarify for folks, is that the National Guard, in a lot of cases, in the Bush, I think it was the Bush administration that started it.
Oh, they used the crap out of the National Guard, yeah.
Yeah, and I suspect it continued during Obama, where they were sending over guardsmen to the Middle East. They're like, okay, well, we need more people, so let's tap the state National Guardsmen. And so this law, if it were passed, would essentially completely stop that from happening because we know Congress isn't going to declare war.
Well, someday they might in certain circumstances, but this would severely limit the Fed's ability to use the National Guard. I don't know if it would limit the state's ability to use the National Guard.
I don't think that the state, I mean, could the state send its guardsmen outside of the state? Is that something that they could, I mean, besides to, you know, respond to a hurricane in Florida, you know, throw around sandbags or something like that, could the state governor in New Hampshire actually send the National Guard over to Syria?
I don't know. I think the state guards, National Guard troops have been used, you know, taken from one state and sent to another, obviously. But I don't know if that's been done by the feds or by the state.
Well, I suspect that it's the feds that are, you know, obviously it's the feds sending them overseas. But as far as, you know, New Hampshire is concerned, we know that in New Hampshire, the governor cannot spend, I think it's more than like $15,000 without getting the approval of the what they call the Executive Council, which is a 5-member group that sort of acts as a check on the governor's power, basically. So I don't know if in order to deploy the National Guard that they need to go through the state legislature, or if the governor
seems
can just...
like they probably would if he's limited to $15,000.
Yeah,
I mean, deploying the National Guard would cost more than that.
I would think so, especially to go to somewhere like, you know, the Middle East.
Right.
So I mean, this sounds to me like
why would they want to? Like, imagine we're independent. Why would the governor of New Hampshire be like, we're sending that? That probably wouldn't happen.
Well, I mean, if we're independent, then it seems like it would not happen at all. But Dave's talking about this would be a bill that is under consideration for right now.
Oh.
So this isn't a question of whether or not New Hampshire is independent. This is trying to stop the National Guard, which is mostly a state organization, that's trying to stop them from being utilized by the feds. And it sounds like it will stop them, because I mean, the odds that the feds are going to declare war are very, very slim. I mean, there are people who've been around for 70 years and they've never seen this in their lifetime.
Yeah, they don't declare war anymore.
Right.
Because then it can end.
That's a good point.
I mean, a war has a definitive beginning and a definitive end when the old regime is toppled. By not declaring war, they turned it into something that is infinite.
Right. Then it's an occupation.
Yes.
At that point. Dave, anything else you want to share?
The hearings on January 14th, 9:30 a.m. at the State House.
Okay.
And, speaking of the State House, there is now a demonstration scheduled for New Hampshire independence on January 20th at the State House. And that's you can find all the details at forum.shiresociety.com.
Very good. Yeah, I believe that independence rally was scheduled for 2:00 in the afternoon to start an hour and a half before the actual hearing starts in Concord.
Smart.
So that way people can be gathered early and everybody can get in there and everybody's going to be on time for the hearing. And that'll be great. Dave, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. He's referring to the New Hampshire Constitutional Amendment, which is, as we call it, CACR 32 here in New Hampshire, that is going to have its public hearing on January 20th. That's not this Thursday, but next Thursday. And this is going to be a historic occasion where the people of New Hampshire will, for the very first time in the history of New Hampshire as a state, probably have the opportunity to speak to their so-called representatives and tell them how they feel about independence. And it's very exciting.
Or rather, just tell their state representatives how they feel about being given the opportunity through a ballot to voice their opinions on independence.
Yeah, that's true. And that is the most important point, is that the state reps here are not going to be voting on independence. They're going to be voting on whether or not people should be able to vote on independence. So they're voting on putting something on the ballot in 2022. That is all that we're asking them to do.
Yeah, we'd never want the state reps and the senators and all of these other politicians to be the ones making the decision about whether or not...
No, there's no way they would do it.
They love the system.
They want to be part of the federal government.
Yeah,
they,
a lot of them want to continue their careers into the federal government.
Right.
But
they
how
want
many of
that
them
power.
And how many of them are willing to say, no, we don't think the people of New Hampshire should even be allowed to make this choice for themselves?
That's what we're going to find out.
That's not going to be a good look to the ones who are willing to say that.
Yeah, and that's why it needs to be put in that way. And I mean, it needs to be clear to them, because they're going to act as though this is a resolution about secession, and it's not. It's about letting people vote about secession, letting the people of New Hampshire make, you know, have their say at the ballot box. And then if they are allowed to have their say, it still requires 2/3 of the voting population to say yes in order for it to move forward. So it's a bit of a high bar, but it should be, right? Like, to make a big decision like that, it should be. To change the Constitution, you should have to get 2/3. So I think it's very exciting. And it's not unprecedented for the New Hampshire people to vote for constitutional amendments. There were two of them proposed in 2018. One of them was like a right to privacy constitutional amendment.
It was.
It passed
over
80%. So it can be done.
Wait, when was that?
2018.
Hmm.
It was impressive to see that pass by such a wide margin.
Yes. Let's go to Tom. He's also in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tom.
By the way, the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 2, quote, "The president shall be commander-in-chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States."
Okay.
It doesn't say anything about has to be a war. It's got to be...
I don't care what the U.S. Constitution says, though.
Well, that's what Dave was saying, is they're going to change New Hampshire law to say that there does have to be a war in order for the National Guard to deploy.
Article 1, Section 8 gives Congress the power, quote, to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, close quote. But what I wanted to call up about and say is, with all this nonsense and ridiculous garbage being thrown about the attack on the Capitol, I mean, all this totally false.
There was an attack on the Capitol? Is that today?
On January 6, 2021.
Oh, that. You're talking about the unauthorized tour.
Yeah, well, what I want to say, I want to add some nonsense of my own about that, and that is that I'm blaming it on Bob Dylan for inciting it. If you listen to that, back in the 1960s, I mean, that is kind of a scary set of lyrics there describing pretty much what happened. The times, they are a-changing.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if times have changed enough.
I'll look up the lyrics.
The song, the times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, but those people didn't change anything. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. I mean, all they did was walk around.
Good effort, Tom, I guess.
A couple people took a few unauthorized souvenirs.
I think that there has to be something in the lyrics he's pointing out. But
we'll continue here in moments. If you want to share your thoughts, you're welcome. Talk Live. Phones open. If you want to join us, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And I do want to let you know about Intercoin. We've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. And now Intercoin has launched its investor token worldwide. And for the first time, you can get it on an exchange over at xmarkets.com, exmarkets.com. All you need is an email address to sign up over there, and that means your privacy is kept intact. You can deposit dozens of different cryptos, including Bitcoin, at X Markets, trade them for Tether, and use that Tether to then buy ITR, which is the Intercoin Investor Token. You can learn more about their vision over at intercoin.org and buy or sell ITR at xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com. You just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. So we're talking about the metaverse, which is definitely not the cause of liberty. It seems more like the cause of keeping people under control.
I mean, you said the headline of this article or something suggests that, you know, this is going to change your life, and
that's what they all say.
That phrase is stuck in my head, though. They're talking about video game technology here. How pretentious and insane are these people to be like, oh, this new VR is going to change your life? Dude, no. It's not. I realize that they want to envision this great new world where everyone is connecting digitally, but have you seen this stuff? This is not life-changing technology. This is horrible.
The cities in there look just like Club Penguin.
What's that?
It's a website from, I don't know, the early 2000s. Not early 2000s, but like mid-2000s. That was a video game place.
I mean, the mountains were literally purple. Yeah. Pyramids.
So you talk about like really low resolution kind of.
It's not like the resolution. It's
blocky.
Just like it looks like Mii's walking around
without
Penguin
legs.
Plaza.
And the Mii's are the Nintendo persona that you could create for yourself.
Yes,
on
sorry,
the Wii platform.
Mii's from Wii. I think they're called Mii's, like MII. Yeah.
And I mean, the whole point of that was that they were very basic. They were very cartoony. I mean, it was the Nintendo Wii. This was not a top-of-the-line gaming PC, so it wasn't very technologically capable. And the worlds that Facebook and Decentraland and all these others are putting out, they're about on the same level of quality as the Nintendo Wii from 2007 or whenever the hell it was.
Did you guys happen to see this virtual Walmart thing?
No, but I hate it already.
She hates real Walmart.
What benefit?
It's so bad.
<true. laughs> But why not just go to Walmart.com? What's the benefit?
That's what I don't understand. I have not watched the video, okay? I've only seen screen grabs from this, and it looks really bad, like really low quality 3D graphics, as you might expect now from the metaverse.
If you want to play a video game to escape and go do something fun, why would you go to Walmart?
To Walmart, yeah. And so there's like this floating video, I guess, overlay of a Walmart employee who I guess is talking to you as you're driving around like a virtual shopping cart.
A Walmart employee talking to you is also awful.
Not what people want, right?
Yeah.
The story here from
They're assuming that you're one of these, that you're disabled or severely overweight and you have to drive around one of those little carts and that you can't just like walk.
I guess you are walking in the virtual experience with, you know, the little hand controls, and so you can pick products off the virtual shelf.
A severely low resolution example of that product, I guess.
It just looks really, it looks bad.
And if you buy it, do they ship it to you?
I presume they ship it to you. Yeah. So the people behind a VR shopping experience at Walmart have revealed that a video widely shared and ridiculed on social media in recent days is actually 5 years old. Mutual Mobile, an end-to-end development company that builds, quote, transformative digital experiences, unquote, for its clients, told social media users Thursday that it was behind the VR version of Walmart. Quote, here's the full video of our Walmart VR store concept demo, the company wrote. Almost 5 years later, this demo is proof of how experimental VR once was and how far it's come today. The nearly five-minute-long clip shows what a virtual shopping experience at Walmart could look like in the future, with a digital shopping assistant aiding the trip around the virtual store. At one point, a customer is recommended a red wine, a Pinot Noir, which the virtual shopper takes from the shelf and puts inside the digital cart. At another, the shopper is told that a service charge has been added to their basket for car refueling. Not sure what that means. But on Monday, dozens of social media users mocked the virtual reality Walmart for being a waste of time and not realistic. And more than 10 million people watched the video on Twitter.
Yeah, because I'm watching this now, and it's significantly better than the Meta stuff.
At Facebook?
Yeah, that Facebook has put out.
And this is half a decade old.
Yeah, this is a lot better than anything that I've seen from Decentraland or any of the others.
But it still looks like garbage.
It still does not look good,
right?
Sure, but
like it looks even more dismal than an actual Walmart visit.
It does.
It looks dark.
It's neat. It is fascinating, and it is better than any of the stuff they've put forward since this video.
One critic wrote, "Nobody, not a single human being on this earth, has ever said, you know what I really want to do in VR? I want to go shopping at Walmart," they said.
No one ever said they wanted to play skee-ball either, or hang out and watch Metallica. They're just making this crap up, and I don't think it has the market appeal that these media organizations writing these articles think it's going to have. I don't think the average person is going to care about this stuff.
It's crazy to me that Skyrim came out, like, I don't know how many years ago.
It's a decade now at this point.
And it's like a nice-looking universe people can wander around in and do unique things that they can't do in real life. But then Meta thinks that they're doing something groundbreaking by creating basically Club Penguin.
Yeah, and you can
VR versions of Skyrim.
Right.
Hmm.
I wouldn't recommend it. Well, at least for me, it just caused severe vertigo.
Hmm.
But it was interesting. But yeah, Skyrim, man. 10 years old, massive. I could see that's the sort of thing that I could understand. Okay, you're going to put me in this fantasy world where you already have pretty broad license to do whatever you want, and now it's in VR? Okay, I'm interested. You want me to go shopping in Walmart, you immediately lose my interest, and I immediately hate your product.
There's a bizarre quote here. It's like shopping on their website, but you get charged for damages if your objects clip through the floor. Why would...
Boy, how can you damage their digital
virtual
floor?
Products? Quote, I mean, this is pretty cool conceptually, but, said another person, if I still have to go out to do this, why not just go in the store? The idea that you'd have to go and pick up the products from the store? Is that what they mean? Like, you go and shop them online, and then an employee goes around and picks the products and then puts it up at the customer service counter?
Like Instacart, but significantly more stupid, and then you still have to go get it?
And takes more time than just picking things off the website and going to pick up?
And he says, this would be needlessly complicated. I'd rather see what I'm buying anyway. So to this article's credit, it's making fun of this particular application. But the story that I did bring in here from the New York Post, this is one of these, ooh, wow, metaverse articles.
Yeah, people got married there. It's so unheard of.
Imagine scaling Everest, swimming with hammerheads, or skydiving over the Grand Canyon.
See,
without ever leaving your living room.
This is why normal people shouldn't be allowed to talk about VR. This right here. Climbing Everest, seriously? That's the best they can come up with for a VR experience?
Yeah, imagine.
How about strapping on a sword, climbing a mountain, and slaying a dragon, man? Come on.
There's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts. The number 603-283-6160. Well, I guess the idea is they're trying to bring people into this technology who wouldn't normally want to slay a dragon or do something fantastic in a fantasy world. More coming up. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com. It is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. Your comments are welcome if you want to weigh in on the metaverse, this new concept that is being pushed out there heavy, with billions of dollars being invested by companies like, well, formerly known as Facebook, now known as Meta, and Microsoft.
And they're doing... Like, go ahead.
I was going to say, sounds like Zuckerberg is having a midlife crisis.
What do you mean?
He's just like, you know, it's not going to be Facebook anymore. We're going to put it all into Metaverse. It's going to be called Meta. It's just going to fail.
I mean, it's...
I think it's going to fail.
They're pushing it so hard.
But they're pushing it in the wrong ways, right? Like this article you're talking about, they swimming with the hammerhead, skydiving into the Grand Canyon, climbing Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, climbing Mount Everest is difficult, but not everyone even wants to do that. I don't want to do it.
Me either.
But if I did, I would do it in person and not in VR because it's not the same. And I don't care how much these people say it is. Skydiving through the Grand Canyon, you're probably not legally allowed to do that. So I could sort of see the appeal there.
It's still going to look like Animal Crossing. It's not going to look like
not
the real...
Not necessarily. No,
if it's just one particular video game designed for that, they could make it look really, really good.
Yeah. You got to remember, just because Facebook is...
Oh, I thought that this was Facebook's metaverse talking about Horizon.
No.
These are all different video games that these companies are developing. They don't want to call them video games, but that's what they are.
Still not going to look as good as just a video of somebody who's probably... It's probably out there. You can probably Google a video of somebody skydiving over Grand Canyon.
Yeah, there's probably somebody who put a 3D, you know, camera on and did something like that. You could probably relive their experience. But just to explain this a little bit further, what they're doing here, Bonnie, is Facebook is basically mailing in this Horizon Worlds. They are putting zero effort or, you know, very, very little effort into designing this technology. It looks like garbage. And as you've pointed out, a 10-year-old game, Skyrim, which, you know, people that pay attention to games, they know what that is. People that don't know what games are, you probably never heard of it. But Skyrim's an incredibly gorgeous-looking game, even for 10 years ago. It's a first-person fantasy thing. You got swords, you got dragons, you got, you know, orcs or whatever. And it's really an amazing product. That looks fantastic. But this new Facebook Worlds thing or this Horizon Worlds looks like, you know, a joke. It looks like a child designed it. And
it doesn't look any better than Minecraft, and you can already do Minecraft in VR and do whatever you want.
Right.
I'd say it looks worse than Minecraft because Minecraft has a style to it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not designed to look beautiful. I mean, but it can. If you have a computer that can render, you know, 96 chunks of it, and you've got this huge sweeping landscape, it's actively beautiful. Mm. But it's not meant to be. It's meant to use 16 by 16, I think, pixelated art to accomplish its mission, and it works.
Right. So every VR application out there is different. So some of them have a design that's supposed to look oversimplified. I mean, like, that may be what some designers want, right? Like, they want a simple-looking world that's not crazy detailed, and then some people do want crazy detail. If you're going to be skydiving over the Grand Canyon, it better look like the Grand Canyon, or else no one's going to want to do it.
And I've sort of swam with the hammerheads in VR already on PlayStation VR. I don't remember exactly what the game it was, mm-hmm. but, you know, it was... you're in one of these cage things, and there's sharks swimming around, and it sinks you down, and you feel like you're actively, you know, sinking mm-hmm. through the water.
Without the whole drowning thing.
It's a really cool experience, but it's not real life. It was neat, but there's nothing there for me to ever want to go back to either.
Yeah, and how long did the experience last? 5 minutes?
Yeah, 5, 10, maybe.
And you're like, okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a very passive experience. And obviously something like climbing Mount Everest wouldn't be as passive, but...
But it also wouldn't have any actual exercise effects on you, right? Like, when you're really climbing something, you're actually engaging probably most of the muscles in your body, right? Like, I've never gone up the side of a mountain or anything like that, but I think, you know, some people have done rock walls or whatever. And so you're actually using your muscles. Yeah. I'm just now imagining, right, like, you've seen video of people in VR... Right, that not what they see, but the video of the person who's in VR.
Yeah, the girl who did the metaverse demonstration thing showed herself in VR, and she moved her hands a little bit.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Right. I'm just trying
to
imagine
somebody. It's basically the Nintendo Wii, but now you have to strap on the Virtual Boy with it.
Yeah. And so I'm just imagining the video of the person who's quote-unquote climbing Mount Everest, standing alone in their room, reaching up and then reaching up again. And, you know, maybe that's good for people that don't ever move, right? Like, if all you do is sit in a chair all day long, then maybe the climbing Mount Everest app on the metaverse is actually going to help you, right? Because then you get up out of your chair, hopefully. I guess you could probably play it from in your chair or something like that.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. But, you know, lifting your hands above head level, I mean, that's something that they don't do very often, right? Like, normally it's just they're using their mouse.
Well, there's already things for that are better. It's not like...
There's workout apps,
right? It's not
like
VR came up with this first. Like, there was, I think it's Xbox. I played it at a friend's house once in high school. They had basically Wii controllers, but they had you do things that would really tire you out. Like, you would just be facing the TV, not VR, and you would be, like, trying to smash balls that popped up in the air, things like that. Like, you actually got kind of like a workout from it. So it's not like VR created this idea.
Was it one of the ones that you do it to music, or is it just random balls?
I can't remember. The one I played was probably music. I don't remember.
Yeah, because some of them, there's like beatbox, you know, I don't know what they call it. Beats, you get these like swords and you have to slash at musical notes that come by you. And those could tire you out, actually.
Yeah, so it's not like VR is like creating an awesome workout app either.
Yeah, I was married to my ex-wife at the time when we first got Nintendo Wii because, you know, it's all the rage. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Like, after that first night, we were so freaking sore, dude.
Yeah, that's good.
That it was days before either one of us had any interest in picking it up again.
Well, we also had the one that has a thing on the floor. I forget what it's called.
Like a pad?
The Wii with a pad on the floor.
Oh, so, the Wii Fit board?
Yeah, the Wii Fit. And that one kind of felt like you're actually working out because you'd walk in place. It definitely doesn't work you out as much as really walking.
Well, Nintendo loves that sort of crap. They've been doing it since the 80s. Yeah, with a stupid trackpad that kids beat with their hands because they were smarter than Nintendo. But Nintendo loves it. I mean, because they know they're largely responsible for resurrecting video games and making an entire generation of fat kids who can't do anything else. So they're like, all right, let's make Pokemon Go then and pretend like we actually care about all the obesity that, you know, happened to skyrocket in the last 30 years. Not because of video games, but...
And now robbery is skyrocketing because of Pokemon Go.
I will say...
There's another story about that. We'll get into it.
Pokemon Go was brilliant. It was lacking in anything that would constitute gameplay, but the solid idea there of
let's come back to that because you've got a story police and choosing to play Pokemon Go instead of actually catching an actual robber. We'll get into that,
and that's augmented reality versus virtual reality,
right? And we'll describe what the difference is. But let's continue here with the latest pitch piece for the metaverse. Quote: I want to walk through the grounds of Trinity College, Dublin, to turn the pages of the Book of Kings.
Then go do it!
Yeah, but it costs a lot of money to, you know, get on an airplane, and then you got to get a vaccine. And
it looks like a video game. It's not, I mean, obviously.
Well, we don't know, Bonnie. We haven't seen what they're talking about. These apps may not even exist. It may just be in somebody's mind about something
because
that they want to see created.
If it looks like a video game, if it's just like, it looks like Versailles, but video gamified, I'd way rather watch a video of the Palace of Versailles.
It may not. It may be a very high resolution 3D experience.
I mean, it depends to me on the quality of the graphics. If it looks like this crap that we've been seeing from Meta, then no.
This isn't just from Facebook.
Yeah.
This is, but the quote unquote metaverse is open to anyone who wants to develop for it.
But the best I've seen so far was that Walmart clip. That's the best of any of these meta, and that's 5 years out of date. But it was better than the disembodied torsos running around in Meta playing virtual skee ball or whatever.
They're just trying to paint a picture of what this could be like. None of these things actually exist, at least that I'm aware of.
But no, and they're doing this instead of looking into what it's actually like, because if they looked into what Decentraland and all these other organizations are doing, they're like, oh, this is not now.
It's 15 years ago technology being hammered into new tech goggles, basically, is what it looks like.
You can slay dragons on Minecraft VR right now.
That's right. 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on the metaverse or bring up whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. If you want to join us here, the number 603-283-6160. The mega corporate technology lords out there like Microsoft and Facebook want you to believe that the so-called metaverse is going to be your future. And
I'm suddenly curious. I mean, you mentioned that the Walmart video, the Walmart clip that we saw was, you know, being criticized relentlessly online. Have any of these people criticizing it seen any of the stuff that's been put out by Meta and Decentraland? Because
I don't know.
They're significantly worse than what this Walmart video has.
Yeah. I haven't seen Decentraland yet. I'm going to look them up. Tell you guys what I think.
It's about the same level of quality as Meta's.
I'd say it's better. I mean, Decentraland, actually, you have legs.
Okay, that's so true.
That alone makes it more realistic.
Was it just too hard for them to program it to where it looks realistic with legs, like people be floating, so they're like, let's just chop off the legs.
That's what I'm thinking they did. Yeah, I'm thinking that's what they did, just to make it easier. Like, why do we want to spend our time animating legs? We'll just have floating torsos.
It's
not the real world, so why
this
not?
This style is just so boring. It's
the animation or the graphic style, you mean?
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Bitmojis that people, you know, my little avatar on Snapchat that you say is ugly.
The oversimplified, animated looking kind of.
Just really ugly, really.
Avatar.
Nothing like inspiring. Definitely not something I want to stay in this world and look at it for a long time.
We'll come back to it. We got Talk. He's on the line calling us from Texas. Talk, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Gal.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Hello.
I'm just curious about your thoughts on something. I didn't want to read anything about it. Because I wanted to think for myself about, I got the basic concept from Elon Musk. He says we're living in a simulation. And I thought, well, I don't want to read anything. I don't want to hear what he says or read anything else. You know, I hear some other people talking about we're living in a simulation. And I thought, well, I don't want to read or anything. I just want to think about it myself. But I did respect you enough, you guys. I wanted to hear your opinion on this. Have you thought about it?
This is something that has come up on previous episodes. I don't think Elon Musk has spurred the conversation, but I guess he's been talking about Pong, according to the independent.co.uk.
Pong? Like the video table tennis Pong?
He cited the 1970s video game Pong in order to reassert his belief that our perception of reality is in fact a hyper-realistic computer simulation. Responding to a tweet about Pong posted by a popular engineering trivia account, the SpaceX and Tesla boss said the advancement in graphics and gameplay in the years since Pong was released implies that humanity is on a path to create digital worlds that are indistinguishable from the real world. Quote, 49 years later, games are photorealistic 3D worlds.
No, they're not.
He wrote, what does that trend continuing imply about our reality?
I just think that we obviously really do project kind of a simulation that we live in, because all we are is a brain, and it can't see or feel or touch, so we have different senses and different organs that can do that, and they just deliver numbers to your brain. Your brain projects an image.
You know, it's kind of a matrix. In other words, you know, you guys were talking about the Matrix the other day, and of course, Bonnie, you like the Matrix, so listen up. So it's what you're saying is like it's the Matrix, except with no machinery. It's not necessary. All that stuff in the original, I guess it's original. I'm not a fan, really, but the.
Well, I mean, that's just science. Your brain doesn't see or feel or touch anything. You have different organs in your bodies that do that, and it's just electrical signals that are being interpreted by your brain, and you have no way of knowing whether or not those electrical signals actually correspond to anything in reality
or not.
That's
the point, right? But that's what people who believe in the simulation theory are essentially saying, is that we don't know.
Okay. The thing is...
I got a total twist on this. That I think you're going to love this.
Okay.
If you ever sat down... Have you ever sat down and just listed the number of crazy stuff that's going on? Just write down. You can number it or just start writing.
We do that every night here on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, what is this going to convince me of? I understand the concept of writing down things that I think are crazy. What's the point?
Okay, from my viewpoint, let's see if I can line this out. I see... these crazy coincidences. You ever, George Norrie, he's like, there are no coincidences. And I'm telling him, no, everything is a coincidence. he's got it all wrong. Everything is a coincidence. Like with me, there's some strange stuff. Like I walked in the library, got a magazine I've never seen before, Economist. This was years ago. And now I'm familiar with it. But I looked at an article on China. And then I go home. And this is like a magazine I've never seen. And like the next day, there's this radio program on that very article that I read out of The Economist.
So what is it? I'm not understanding where you're going with this. It's like
thousands and thousands of coincidences for me.
You're creating the world that you expect in a sort of Truman Show way, where you're the one who's creating the experiences?
Some people suggest that is the case.
I suspect that there's something going on.
Well,
go ahead, Bonnie.
It's very strange. It's very strange.
One thing that kind of goes with what you're saying, Talk, is that molecules have been proven to behave differently in labs when they're being observed and not observed. So it does seem that you seeing that article and then the coincidence of you hearing somebody else talk about it the same next day, like those things could be related. Like your brain thought about it and kind of attracted that radio station to be on at the same time as you. I don't have any answers.
Yeah, it gets into some, you know, it's a pretty deep topic, and thank you, Talk, for bringing it up here tonight. You know, the question, of course, is are we creating our own reality? And are we all having a different reality to some extent?
I mean, it's a fascinating topic, but it's ultimately irrelevant.
It's theory. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether this is real or not. It's the only experience any of us have to go
on. This
is
what we get.
So
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We know that we're all experiencing the world a little different because of that one meme that was like a gold and white dress or a blue and teal dress.
People
see different colors.
But Musk said previously he subscribes to a simulation hypothesis laid out in a 2003 paper by philosopher Nick Bostrom, which points that future advances in computing power will allow later generations to run a vast number of highly detailed simulations of their forebears. If this eventuality occurs, Bostrom claimed, quote, then it could be the case that the vast majority of minds like ours do not belong to the original race, but rather to people simulated by the advanced descendants of an original race.
And I was going to say something about that. I just think that that added on part, that there's literally like a computer out there simulating this, is the most silly thing. Like, I mean, that's just speculation, obviously, and Elon Musk saying it doesn't make me think it sounds any smarter than anyone else saying it. I think that
it's just like the Matrix, right? Like somebody sort of retelling the Matrix.
Yeah,
exactly that. Yeah. It's like, if you have no way to unplug from it, then what's the point of even having the discussion, right? Okay, so I'm really hooked up to a machine. There's nothing I can do about it, so I'm going to go have dinner now. I mean,
yeah.
I don't understand why people are so fascinated with this topic about whether or not reality is real when it doesn't matter in any direction.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It's like, this is the reality we got, so you got to live within this this framework. Now, and the thing is, what you don't want to happen is to go too far and to think, oh, well, it's just a game. You can just do whatever you
no,
want.
No, that's really what my sister does. My sister said that, my sister has been spiraling into a crazier and crazier mindset for years, like very honestly dangerous. And she has said to me before, I feel like my money is just fake money, so I might as well spend it on pretending I'm a doll and decorating my doll life. And she really is crazy. She doesn't do anything productive, and she's just spiraling.
But she's not. But maybe she's not crazy. Maybe the rest of us are crazy.
Well, I'm sure that's what she thinks.
But we have no way of knowing.
She's not out like hurting people. Like if all she's doing. Bonnie looked at me because she actually did get attacked by the same sister, I guess, at one point. But
didn't know that. I just saw the look. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Generally, she's not going around like, you know, smashing people's heads in because she's come to the conclusion that none of this is real. That is the real danger of what you're talking about, sure. Aria, which is to say, going down the rabbit hole of coming to the belief that, oh, well, it's all a simulation. Well, there are consequences. You know, even if it is all a simulation, whoever wrote the rules,
it's going to simulate some consequences too.
Yeah, it's going to simulate consequences to you. So you better, you know, keep that in mind. But that said, now we are seeing people building simulations, and they're calling it the metaverse. So the first steps are being taken into this world, and one of the major steps is the ongoing propagandizing of the people to make them want this, to try to drive them into this technology. And Aria, you predict that this isn't going to take off. It's not going to work out. And I would say that at least at this current price point, you're absolutely right. I mean, the average person isn't going to want to go buy a $500 headset and then a $1,000 or $2,000 computer just so they can fake climb Mount Everest. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program here. The number is 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
603-283-6160. Is there anyone out there who's actually excited by the metaverse?
I'm way more excited about Bar Fight VR.
Were you looking at the footage from that?
Well, you mentioned it, so I looked into it a little bit. Yeah. And it looks so much better.
Is it VR?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's for PS4.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, really?
Yes, and other contemporary gaming systems. So, I mean, of course, the video game companies are going to be the ones who are actually using this technology.
To the max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Bar Fight already a game before it was a VR game?
Never heard
I don't
of
know.
That.
It, the game is called Bar Fight VR. There may just be a bar fight. But, I mean, it's shovelware. This is not a top of the line.
What's that? Describe a shovelware.
A really low budget game made for to be small and mm-hmm. to entertain you for like 10, maybe 30 minutes, and then you never play it again.
Okay.
Like Cripple Smash.
Yes, exactly. Like, I don't even know what that is, but I can tell you from the name, that's shovelware.
Yeah.
And that's what bar
fight
is.
It's, let's have a digital bar fight in VR. It probably costs $6 or something on the PlayStation Store, and you play it for half an hour, and then you never play it again.
It could be something that you could play for a long time, because what is that game where you fight each other? Dang, I forget what it's called.
There's a ton of those games.
The main one.
Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat is actually pretty fun. I've played it before.
Which one? There's like 12 of them.
I don't know. I've played it at one of my old friend's house. It wasn't like mine.
I have the newest one, and I was shocked.
What's the newest one?
11, I think.
Okay.
It's 11 or 12. I don't remember now, but it was like 80-something gigabytes, man. I was like, this is obscene.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm going to I uninstalled it, but it's not because I hated the game or anything like that. It's like, dude, it's eating up almost a tenth of a terabyte for a fighting game.
So they're pimping this metaverse thing hard and heavy on mainstream media. I mean, I just don't know if there's anyone besides the journalists themselves who are actually excited about this. There's so much feigned excitement out there in the media, and it's just, I got to agree with you, Aria, I just don't see, at least at this point in the game, this thing really catching on, even though they are pushing it so hard. I mean, they're trying. They got Ariana Grande, who's like singing in Fortnite, trying to get people to come play, you know, in Fortnite to see people. And she's not the only one, I guess, who's performed there.
No, there have been concerts in Minecraft as well.
Yeah. So they're trying to do what they can to get people to leave the real world and join the metaverse. And I want to ask Sarah if she is actually interested in this technology. Sarah, what would it take to get you to buy a pair of virtual reality goggles and join the metaverse?
I am not interested. You know, I want to deal with reality. I don't like this fake stuff. Like, I'm more concerned about, like, prices of hearing aids.
Hold on,
you know,
Sarah.
Hold
on, before you get into that, because if you did participate in this virtual reality world, you could sit at a bus stop without someone smoking next to you.
You could ride a virtual bus
without having to deal with the homeless people,
right?
Well, it's an imagination. I mean, you know, I mean, I guess you could pretend that there are no smokers when there are, you know, make yourself happier, I suppose. You create your own reality. But, you know, I never go to movies or anything. I have things that, you know, that like hearing aid prices that... Look at how many wives of military wives that are, they're suffering because they have to shout and repeat things 10 times to our husband.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it's
so
it's
you don't go to movies because of hearing aid prices. Did I get that correct?
No, I only would want to go to a movie I want to learn more about the communists and the Russians. There's a lot of films about female Russian spies, and that sounds kind of intriguing.
Hold on a second.
But that's based in reality. No, I get what she's saying. She's saying she doesn't want to watch a movie based on a fake video of a Russian spy. She'd rather learn about it in real life. Is
right.
that what you mean, Sarah?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's some movies I like if they're really the content is based on reality.
In other words, like a documentary.
Right, there were really the women Russian spies here that were sleeping with guys. They have a movie out about that. They're in the 1970s, and they could have gotten if they got caught, they would have been jailed or got into serious consequences. They were risking all of that.
Sarah, I want to go back to the hearing aids because that's what you had called.
Yeah.
That's what you'd called about, and I'm wondering when you're saying hearing aid prices are too high. What are you talking about? Hearing aids, they're cheaper now than they surely have ever been. I've never looked at pricing on hearing aids before, but you know the technology has gotten better, right? Like over the last four decades or whatever.
That's correct. I mean, but do you wear a hearing aid? Well, are you a hearing aid expert? You definitely can hear very well.
No, I'm not a hearing aid expert, but anyone, I know you're new to this internet thing. But all you have to do is go online and look. I mean, you can buy hearing aids at Walmart
For like
89
bucks. Yeah.
Oh, no. Those things don't work. The thing is, you have to pay about $1,200 or more for hearing aids that work.
What do you mean they don't work? I mean, this has 4.7 stars with 1,200 ratings. Obviously, people are getting value from this particular product.
My grandma, she has one that works too good, so she can never hear anything I'm saying. You have to scream directly in her face to listen or to talk to her because she won't put in her headphones or hearing aids because they work too well. She's like, I'm sorry, Bonnie, I don't want to hear the fan blowing on the ceiling, so I never put on my hearing aids.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
The $180 ones. I mean, that's probably what it is. But from what I hear is that the ones that really do work, it costs about $3,000 a pair.
Have you ever tried one of the $90 pairs?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to waste my money. I've seen them in
catalogs. You can take them back if they don't work.
Well, send it back. I mean, I see them in the catalog, but I'm not even going to try it. Because you know what? I bought
That's a really good way of keeping your mind closed and saying that they're too expensive is to not try the cheap ones that could work.
Yeah.
You just don't want to test it out.
Well, you wear headphones? I mean, hearing aids, Sarah?
No, but no, the problem is that I live with people that have hearing problems. And I see
the part about military spouses was the giveaway.
Nice.
I feel like wearing out their voice, all those poor women, that the wives are the one that's suffering because they have to scream and repeat.
Did you and Richard get married?
With them all the time. Well, I mean, but I live here, but I have to deal with him. You know what I mean? And that's not the only.
Are you gonna get married?
No, I don't really think so. I like the arrangement.
Do you want to get married
right now? No, it's just good, but I have to live here with him, and then he watches the TV.
She's not really saying no.
She's not.
Is he listening in the other room? Is he listening to this?
No, I'm in the other room.
Okay. Does he want to get married?
No, that's not important. It's just that it's hard to live with.
You want to help your friend. I get you. Aria's badgering you about it, and it's not fair. You want to help yourself so your friend can hear the things that you're trying to say to him that you live with. Look, I don't understand your reluctance here. I mean, as Aria pointed out,
what I'm saying is that it's a ripoff.
No,
these
Sarah,
companies are a ripoff because only who can afford $3,000 for a hearing aid?
$90. There's a company called.
Have you tried them? How do you know if they work?
You haven't tried them.
No, because I don't need it. You don't need it. How do you know if they work or not? Why do they have $3,000 hearing aids?
Look. I know you're a communist, Sarah, so let me see if I can walk you through how the marketplace works briefly. Okay, I'm going to just put you on hold so you can... I dropped her off the line. sorry, Sarah. I'm just going to walk you through this. The marketplace gives people what they want. And without government regulations keeping the marketplace from creating and competing, prices tend to go down. Quality tends to go up. So over the last few decades, hearing aids have gotten cheaper and they've gotten better than they've ever been in the past.
Just look at how good the average television is and how cheap it is now.
Sure, you can still spend $3,000 on a pair of hearing aids because there's some company out there that'll let you do that. But there's a company here called Audion Hearing, and Walmart carries this product for less than $90, and this company offers a 45-day money-back guarantee. So with a money-back guarantee on the products, you literally have no reason not to try it. And I don't make any money off of this. There's more coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Phones open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
Going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. And coming up, what happens when you ask Alexa for a challenge? You know, one of those things they do on the internet to usually make a fool of you. So what does Alexa tell you? And we'll find that out because one little girl tried it and came up with a pretty scary answer. Plus, cops called on a robbery, an armed robbery, decided not to go because they were too busy playing video games. Aria's got that story if we get the chance. But phone calls first. Here we go to CW calling from out west. Go ahead, CW.
Arizona, KTOX.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, I like that Sarah said she doesn't want to marry that man. That means she's not in it for the money. She just wants companionship. She loves him, and she doesn't want to marry him. And because, you know, when you marry somebody, you're guaranteeing yourself for money. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's how it usually goes. And I like that about her.
That's
maybe
a good
communism,
point.
Maybe communism isn't that bad.
No, it's bad.
But
well,
anyways,
you have a good point. If people get married in a communist society, it's certainly out of love.
Yeah, it's
there's
not
no,
for the money.
There's
no money.
Material benefit or gain to it whatsoever.
So I think communism is actually, there are some good points to it, but it's completely garbage other than that, I guess, right?
I'm not sure what the good points are.
Well,
I mean, marriage is stupid.
It is.
Indeed.
But anyways, man, I'll never play video games. That's garbage, too. You know what?
Never.
Really?
No. Maybe when I was a teenager, I liked to play the shooter games. That's about the only games I like to play is first-person shooters.
Okay.
Because I like to be ace. You know what I'm saying? When you're ace, that means you're number one. That means you're top of the boards. And that's about the
best. Yeah, that doesn't fly in communist societies.
Give me an idea of what game you did enjoy. What was a first-person shooter, your favorite one?
What was it called? Oh, Soldier of Fortune was my favorite first-person shooter. It was like PlayStation. No, it was computer. It was all computer games.
Yep. I remember. I played the second one back in the day.
Yes, I think it was part two.
Yeah,
that was the best first-person shooter. I loved it.
Yep,
and there was another
one,
Crossfire. Crossfire was a free game that you download on the internet, and that was absolutely beautiful.
But you're done with them now. You don't have time for it anymore.
Yeah, that's probably good. No, when you're an adult, I got plenty of things to do. I got business to grow. I'm working out in my yard.
Yep.
I'm smoking 50 cigarettes a day.
That's a whole job right there. Arya can relate.
That's 2.5 packs a day. That's quite a lot of smoking, yeah.
I'm kind of with you on this. I grew up loving video games, and there's still a warm place in my heart for them, but I just don't spend time on them. I just don't.
Yeah, you know.
I've got other things that are interesting.
I used to watch my friends play video games. That was about the only thing we would do. And then when they were done playing video games, we'd stay up all night playing Dungeons and Dragons or White Wolf, Mage. We'd play a lot of that stuff.
You're all into the gaming back in the day.
But, you know, now I'm in my 30s. I just got too much stuff to do.
CW, thanks for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate hearing from you. And that's what, you know, you got an interesting life. You don't have as much time for things like games.
That's one thing I did appreciate about Sarah's call, that she is not into pretending she has a different life. She'd rather just live her own life. Yeah.
And I don't look down on people who play games. I mean, they're fun, and the technology is fantastic. And you know, I try to kind of keep up to some extent. I do watch the what are they called? What's the game review thing that I'll watch every now and then? They
Angry.
Do like the music. No, they do like the music, not music reviews, but like the movie.
Honest trailers?
Honest trailers. Yeah, I'll watch like the Honest video game trailer. That way I kind of know some extent like what games
are. I didn't
know
they did those for video games. Okay,
yeah,
I got something
to
watch later.
Yeah, they do. They do one a week, just like the Honest movie trailer things. And it's like, oh, okay, that's enough for me. I've seen the game, you know, I've seen some clips from the game, and I really am not interested in playing most of them. It's like, oh, I see what they're doing there.
That's
okay.
That's very much where I'm at. The only games I played in the last 2 months, I think, was when I was on airplanes. And even then, I just used my Switch to play, like, chess. So it wasn't like an actual game, but a video interpretation of a board game.
Huh.
Then I must be playing the most video games here right now.
You are the biggest gamer here, for
and
sure.
I don't even play real video games. It's honestly embarrassing. But I play them in a productive way, because anytime I need to listen to something, I can't just be staring into space. I just start playing Angry Birds or Diner Dash on my phone, so my part of my brain that wants to wander is distracted.
Why aren't those real video? Those are real video games.
Okay, then they're real video games, but like they're phone games. It's not like I'm like actually on a console or anything.
Hated that about console and PC gamers looking down on the mobile market. The mobile market is the biggest gaming market that has ever existed.
There's a ton of money in it, right?
Yeah, and there's some extremely good games out there, like I think it was Mark or Conan one day, they were playing one of the Kingdom Rush games on their laptop, and that originated on mobile, and the gaming series is fantastic.
What is that? One of those tower defense
things? It is tower defense, and it's one of the best tower defense games out there, and it wouldn't exist if not for the mobile market. And then there's stuff like the Final Fantasy IV remake that is just brilliant on Android. And sure, you could have played it on Nintendo DS if you were one of the weird people who had a handheld Nintendo console 15 years ago. But now you can download it onto your phone right now and play the entire game. And that's unheard of outside of the Nintendo Switch. These phones here do what the Nintendo Switch does, just without the controller and without the ability to play something as graphically demanding as like Breath of the Wild.
See, I'm not going to say that I'm some sort of game purist or anything like that, but when I was playing more games over the last decade, which was never a whole lot, but the further back you go in the last decade, the more I was playing video games.
Sure.
You know, mobile games were starting to be a thing, and I could never justify spending the battery time on them. I would just...
My phone just never dies.
I just would... You know, I want to have my phone for phone things and, you know, checking an email or, you know, making a phone call or whatever. And, you know, if you get into playing video games, you're just going to suck that battery down and you're going to have nothing left. So just to me, none of the mobile games ever really called out to me to say, this is worth your time and you should get into this.
To be fair, I would never play a mobile game if Neopets didn't die in January 2020 with Flash. I was always just playing those games for my, you know, if
and
I'm listening
to
something.
Browser, right?
Yeah. I would play it on my laptop if all my, I mean, Neopets isn't literally dead. They're trying to bring as many things back at a small amount of time, but it's been a year now and my favorite games aren't back up yet. So it's really sad.
See, I mentioned Final Fantasy IV because that is one of the games that I played through on mobile. And I mean, it's an extensive game. If you go through the New Game Plus and all that, it takes a good 40 or 50 hours. But at the same time, I was sort of half watching television. This was probably a decade ago. And yeah, the phone was plugged in the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, there's no games installed on my phone because I'm the same way now. I don't see any value in it.
If I'm going to plug something in, I might as well just be playing an actual video game with a full-on television or computer monitor or something like that.
Yeah, so. But they'll just strain your battery now. And then it's like, okay, well, now I don't have a phone and I'm bored. Great. That's not an improvement.
My phone just never dies. I charge it at night when I go to sleep, and then I wake up and I play video games all day while I do stuff on my phone all day.
I don't understand how you can pay attention to something while playing a video game, but
it's because I play like Mahjong Matching or Angry Birds where you're just breaking stuff or...
603-283-6160 is the number here. That's 603-283-6160. But none of us are excited for the so-called metaverse. But let's talk about the cops and Pokemon Go coming up. Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Well, we kind of skipped over the metaverse pimping and just went full on in talking about, you know, gaming in relation to the real world. And you can, of course, comment here. The number is 603-283-6160. In fact, speaking of the real world, video games got in the way for some police officers that were supposed to be responding to an actual crime with a real victim. An armed robbery, apparently, and Aria is going to tell us about that. Of course, you can bring up whatever is on your mind, and you can join us online anytime over at freetalklive.com. We do have a social media platform. You can go to social.freetalklive.com, and you can interact there with other Free Talk Live listeners and hosts, and it's free, and we run the server, so you're not ruled over by Twitter or Facebook or some other big tech mega corporation. We set the rules, and the rules are pretty wide open. You can post about whatever you want there. So head over to social.freetalklive.com. Aria, what is the story with these police?
Yeah, well, the headline is wrong. It says Pokemon Go caused two LAPD officers to ignore a robbery in progress. Now, Pokemon Go didn't cause that. The two officers,
the officers caused it.
That.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Everyone that's played Pokemon Go has probably at some point in their life played it when they shouldn't have. I can attest to that, at least for myself, back when I actually cared about Pokemon Go, which was like the first 3 weeks after it came out. And then I realized, hey, there's not a whole lot to actually do here. I'm moving on. Sure, Everyone.
Wait, aren't you supposed to capture all the Pokemon?
Well, you're also supposed to battle people that also play the game, but
the battle
system
was so terrible.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I heard it's improved a lot since, but that first experience was so bad that it's like there's no recovering from that.
It would be so fun, honestly, if it was really, really easy to do and fun, but I couldn't figure it out.
No, I think it was just tap on the screen was what it was back then, and it was like not entertaining, and do a long tap for a strong hit or something. It was as basic as you could possibly get.
Wow.
And of course, battling Pokemon is like 90% of what you do in the games. So
I have never played a Pokemon
game. They're just RPGs. That's all they are, okay. Where you have 150 different characters with unique abilities.
I see.
Or at least that's how it was then. Now there's like 800 or something different Pokemon, but yeah. Maybe they pulled out their phone while at work and played a few rounds. That seems a strange way of describing Pokemon Go. I'm not sure this article's author ever played Pokemon Go, because there aren't really rounds that you play. But anyway, moving on. The thing is, though, most people who have done this before were probably not police officers, and when they chose to step out of work, they likely were not ignoring calls of a robbery that was currently taking place. If that example sounds very specific, that's because that's exactly what two LAPD officers did. In recently released court documents, it was unveiled that two officers chose to ignore a robbery that was in progress so they could chase a Snorlax.
Oh my gosh.
This particularly surprises me because Snorlaxes aren't uncommon in Pokemon Go. Okay. So it's not like this was some...
They could find these things anywhere.
Yeah, right? This wasn't some rare thing that, oh my God, we have to seize this opportunity. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Or at least they were. Then, after supposedly capturing the Snorlax, they doubled down and went after I don't know, it's from a future generation that I never played, a Togedic, I guess. While many Pokemon Go players can probably relate to the desire to go catch a Snorlax, doing so instead of responding to a robbery is probably not the best move. The reason this information is available to us is because the two officers who were fired were fired, so that's good.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's shocking.
I mean, this is pretty egregious.
Well, they did ignore a robbery to play Pokemon Go, so, I mean, that's...
But officer safety.
Well, they're currently appealing their termination.
Of course.
Listed among the reasons why they're appealing is because they weren't actually playing the game, but were instead relaying that information to groups on their app. I don't understand what that means.
So they told people in some app, we're not going to get the burglary, we're chasing a Snorlax, and they're trying to say that they were joking or something?
I think they're saying that, hey, we opened Pokemon Go and we saw a Snorlax, and then we told other people about this.
About the Snorlax or the robbery?
I don't know. Not the robbery, presumably. It's all very unclear. This rebuttal is, of course, ignoring that the likely reason they were terminated had to do less with what they were doing specifically while playing Pokemon Go, and more that they were actively doing something involved with the game rather than doing their job in a critical moment. They do have the quotation here. I don't know whether or not it's actually worth reading the excerpt. Yes, it is. Petitioners, that would be the two cops, denied playing Pokemon Go while on duty. They claimed they were monitoring a Pokemon tracker application on their phone, which is playing Pokemon Go,
right.
But not playing the game itself. As for catching Pokemon, Officer Lozano insisted this referred to capturing an image of the Pokemon on the tracking application to share with friends, while Officer Mitchell said his statements about fighting the Togetic referred to relaying that information to the groups on my app.
Well, even if that's true, I don't understand how that makes it any better. It's like, I wasn't playing Pokemon Go. I was on Instagram taking a screenshot of a Snorlax. No, why is that better?
It's worse than that. I mean, that would be bad, but they're saying that Pokemon Go isn't a game. Mitchell said he did not consider the application a game because it was not, quote, advertised as a game.
Oh my God.
He thinks
this
it's
legalese
real?
Stuff. They're like, they're playing legal word games.
They're trying to.
With the court.
It's not going to work, I don't think. Petitioners admitted leaving their foot beat area in search of Snorlax. I can't believe I just read that. But they insisted they did so both as part of an extra patrol to chase this mythical creature. For anyone that's surprised to find out Pokemon Go is still being played all these years later, I actually kind of am surprised to hear that now that they mention it, the game itself has managed to get even more addictive since it was first released back in 2016.
Huh.
Gyms were buffed up, there's hundreds of new Pokemon to capture, and there are raids everywhere, whatever all of that stuff means. What I'm taking away from this is that, yes, these cops are counting on a judge or a jury to not know what a video game is. It could actually be interesting to hear them legally define what constitutes a video game, because they're saying, no, we were fired for playing a game, and we weren't playing a game. Pokemon Go isn't a game. But I don't know how it couldn't possibly be a game.
Where was your article from?
It is from Edge Gaming.
I got one from Vice here. Apparently the officers are appealing the decision of their firing, claiming that LAPD violated their privacy by listening to their conversation.
Oh my God.
Subsequently lost their appeal, so they apparently are still fired.
Good.
This
is like they wanted to find out why these cops ignored the robbery, so they watched their body cam footage
something
or whatever.
Like that. They had some way of listening in. And according to the audio, I guess, after Mitchell apparently caught the Snorlax exclaiming, "Got him!" Petitioners agreed to go get the Tugtick and drove off. Mitchell said that he buried the Tugtick and used an Ultra Ball on it and was still trying to catch it after quite some time. Quote, "Holy crap, man, this thing is fighting the crap out of me," Mitchell said, according to court records. Quote, "Holy crap, finally, the guys are going to be so jealous," unquote.
And it's not playing a game? It sounds exactly like playing a game.
Yeah.
He was fighting a Tugtick,
yeah,
and his friends were going to be jealous that he caught a Tugtick.
Well, because of things like Animal Crossing and stuff like that, I don't even view video games as being these things that have to have end goals or even plots or anything like that. It's just a setting in which you can interact with stuff and have consequences. That,
yeah,
to me, is what a video game is, and that could be almost anything.
Yeah.
So I don't see they lost the appeal, but I don't see a judge ever saying, yeah, no, Pokemon Go,
not a game.
You're right,
okay.
It's not a video game.
Right. Like, well, would the judge have said, oh, okay, it's a porn app, so you're fine. You don't have to go into...
Yeah, that's why I said the Instagram thing. I was like, yeah, would the judge say, oh, it's fine, you were just on Instagram when you ignored the burglary in progress?
I don't care if the cops are out there playing video games instead of arresting, you know, a teenager.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Let them capture the Snorlax, not the drug dealer.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that was going to be Aria's idea if she was sheriff, was to have them do this.
To play Pokemon Go?
Yeah, but they would have responded to robberies or I would have fired them.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, okay, if there's an actual violent act going on, maybe they should go and do that. And so in this case, for once, the court made the right choice and they fired these guys. The number is 603-283-6160. And now they got way more time to play Pokemon Go.
That's true.
Now that they're out of work.
Now the boys are really jealous.
And it does make you wonder what boys they're talking about. Is it the entire department?
Wow.
Like their whole like office? Are they all playing Pokemon Go all the time?
I bet.
Just these two just got caught for it?
I kind of hope so.
More coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. The number if you want to join in here in the remaining moments, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Is the metaverse going to take over your life? That is what the mainstream media wants you to believe. Color us skeptical about it, but boy, they are going to pour a lot of billions into this, and there's a lot of propaganda out there hitting every single day, every week. In mainstream publications. If we get the chance, we can talk further about that. But we've just sort of been talking tech and gaming here with some of the news items, like the police. Apparently in Los Angeles, a couple of cops have actually been fired because they played Pokemon Go instead of responding to a real armed robbery call, and then subsequently tried to act like they weren't playing a video game.
Yeah, they weren't playing a video game. They were monitoring an application.
For Pokemon that they could then capture, quote unquote. And I guess you earn points for that, right? Like, is that what, like, do you get levels and points in the Pokemon Go game?
That was one of the places they screwed up, was that you didn't really have, there were strength differences and, you know, you could sort of make your Pokemon stronger, but it didn't have the depth that a leveling system would have had, like the video games did.
Hmm.
So this...
It was a disappointment
very,
for you.
Very bare bones.
So, Bonnie, you've got a story here as well, and this is also about technology, specifically the Amazon Alexa device, this
spyware.
Yeah, I was going to say spy device that you can put in your own home.
Volunteer spy device.
Yeah, and then they listen to you. And ostensibly, you know, they answer questions about whatever the hell you want to ask it. And so recently, somebody asked it for a challenge.
Yes, this says, Amazon's Alexa tells 10-year-old girl to touch a live plug with a penny. During the holidays, a little girl wanted to engage in some physical challenges. And by challenges, I don't really know why it says physical challenges, but by challenges, what the author means here is like the ice water bucket challenge.
Oh, I don't think so, based on what I read about this article a few weeks ago. It was challenges like, hey, you know, rub your tummy while you pat your head, those sorts of challenges. Well, something that may entertain a child without being a TikTok trend.
Oh, okay. Well,
or at least that's how I understood it. The ice water bucket is pretty entertaining.
Which one was that?
Remember, didn't we do that with Will Coley once upon a time where we put
I don't think a 10-year-old girl wants to do it for no reason.
We did, though. And it was fun.
I never wanted to do that.
I wouldn't recommend it again. I mean, it was summertime here in New Hampshire as well, so that made it easier. But
right.
Yeah, that was like we tried to do a bucket challenge or something.
Want to say that I would try the crate challenge?
Oh, no. God, I wouldn't try the crate challenge. But that's nuts.
That's the one where people like can break their legs and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say I would be too afraid. I want to say that I would try it because it kind of looks fun, especially if you do it in grass.
Fun.
But it also
do the
looks
Reaper
scary.
Challenge.
No, that's way too scary. Okay, well.
At least you won't break a leg with the Reaper challenge.
That's true. You may break a Conan.
Yeah. That was so scary. Okay, it says the little girl wanted to engage in some physical challenges, so she asked Amazon's Alexa for some challenges. Alexa, challenge to do. Alexa indicated that it had found some challenges on the web. The voice assistant suggested, quote, plug in a phone charger about halfway into a wall outlet, then touch a penny to the exposed prongs.
Kids, don't try this at home. Adults, don't try this at home. This is really bad advice.
Never plug in anything halfway into an electrical outlet.
And then touch the prongs
with your
fingers or anything else.
Says that's terrifying.
Evidently,
they do use that method in like jail and in the military and stuff like that to, you know, create a spark so they can light a cigarette or something like that.
That's going to create more than a spark.
Evidently,
I wouldn't do it, but I've seen people do it and they did not get injured, but I would not recommend it.
Yeah, no, I've seen video of this happening and it is a flash, like a explosion kind of.
It's like using a taser to light your cigarette.
You definitely don't want your kid to do it.
Says evidently about a year ago, there had been the penny challenge circulating on TikTok and some other social media sites, which is so messed up. Alexa's algorithms picked up this challenge and shared it with a 10-year-old girl to do in response to her request for a challenge to do. Luckily, the little girl was smart enough not to listen to Alexa.
Thank goodness.
Her mother was also there.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, has Amazon commented on this? Have they said, you know, how'd that get in there?
It says, after being informed about this incident, Amazon told the BBC that it took swift and immediate action to update Alexa to prevent Alexa from suggesting such activity in the future.
This is why you can't rely on Alexa and Google
to take care of your kids.
Yeah, and all of this other stuff, because they're dumb. Alexa has no ability to actually look through challenges and think, oh, this seems like it's probably a threat to human safety. I shouldn't recommend this.
First, get a Tide Pod. Then open your mouth and drop it in.
I don't think that would even kill people, though, would it? It was
it
just really uncomfortable.
It made them very sick. I think it might have killed
some people.
It probably
could kill maybe like a small 10-year-old girl. I don't know.
That was a stupid challenge, man. Zoomers.
The penny challenge thing is like something that dumb high school guys would do, right? Like that's the level of intelligence.
I saw somebody take a bong hit of a Tide Pod and that looked like the worst thing ever.
What?
They were just immediately like coughing so hard.
How do you take a bong hit of a Tide Pod?
You break it open and put it in a bong?
Well, not a bong, but a dab rig. So they put some, you know, of a little bit of the Tide Pod into the...
the Tide Pod?
Like a dab rig, you know, like you put it into the little black glass part with the stick.
And they vaporized it?
I don't know if that's called vaporizing it.
That's what a dab rig is. A dab rig is a vaporizer. A dab rig takes a heated glass, I don't know what you call it, but something that
a little glass bowl.
Yeah, you put the weed or whatever, or
it's resin or something, right?
Yeah,
you heat it up with fire first with actual like torch, and then you stick it on with like a stick into this glass bowl.
That's what he did. Essentially, it boils it.
But with a Tide Pod.
Oh my God.
And he was just like, it was like the second the smoke looked like it reached his mouth, he was coughing like so hard, like he was dying.
That's good. That's being horrifying. Stupid should be painful.
Yeah. Wow. Is there anything else that you wanted to share from that, Bonnie?
So eating Tide Pods wasn't enough for this person. It's like, I have to take this to a new level.
Yeah. I want it in my lungs.
I'm going to dab a Tide Pod.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
Well, about the penny touching challenge that Alexa suggested, it says, Amazon also stated that customer trust is at the center of everything we do, and Alexa is designed to provide accurate, relevant, and helpful information to customers.
Clearly.
Yeah, that's what they say too. Yeah, it's the marketing cover.
And I mean, this viral trend or whatever was more than a year old. You said that it was circulating on TikTok, and I can't imagine.
Oh, the penny thing? Yeah, yeah, it's been around for a while.
I can't imagine too many people actually did this. They just spread it. You know how you can say, "Oh, microwave your phone for 20 seconds to dry it out." You know, you can skip the rice or whatever. I don't think anyone actually does it. They just share it in the hopes of getting some stupid person to do it.
I think some people really do it, but. Yeah, they just think it will work, not because they're not a challenge.
Like, when I went to buy a radar detector like a year and a half ago, some of the reviews were like, this doesn't detect the cops. Oh, you have to microwave it for 30 seconds to activate cop detector mode.
What?
Because if people are stupid enough to think that a radar detector is going to detect every single cop, then maybe they are stupid enough to put it in the microwave to activate the super secret cop detector function.
Yes, the radar detector will only detect the cops using their radar, not the ones who aren't.
Yeah, and not all of them even have radar to use.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I would think that'd be standard issue, but yeah, I don't know either. Maybe some departments only have a few radar units.
I know New Hampshire state troopers recently upgraded to laser. At least one of them did.
Yep. What?
Yep.
I had never heard
the sound before, and suddenly it started making this weird noise that I'd never heard. And I looked, and I said, laser. And sure enough, there's a state trooper right there. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's terrible news. You sure you weren't in Massachusetts
at the time? I'm 100% sure. I was right there at that roundabout near Swansea. I mean, it was...
Damn.
I was like 3 minutes from my house.
Oh, because that used to be like one of the real perks for New Hampshire was that there was no laser.
Well, it's only happened the once. The one time.
Still, that's not good. That means the Pandora's box is opened.
At least one state trooper here has it.
Yeah, if they can have one, then that means they can have a bunch of them. So,
but if I understand it, isn't laser like, it may be more accurate for them, but isn't it more narrow? Like they have to point it at this specific area?
Right, so they know it's you. That's the problem with laser is once you get hit by laser, you're done for. Like there's no doubt. You can't say, oh no, it was the car behind me or whatever. You can't, there's nothing. They've got you. So when the laser indicator goes off on your radar, it's already
too late.
Yeah. You've been hit. If they pull you over, then you're going to get pulled over they're giving you a heads up that that's likely to happen. If you were speeding, there's a good chance you're getting pulled over in that case. You don't get the heads up. Like, with radar, you can detect it over a hill, and then you can slow down before you get to them. With laser, they're already seeing you. Out of time for tonight, and join us tomorrow night when Conan is going to be back on the show.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll have a little reunion with him, and I think we're going to talk about mass psychosis, so that'll be fun. I've been looking forward to discussing that. See you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.